ushering in a time for us to come within the sanctuary, to come to lift up praises to the Son of Man. There was a question that was put to Jesus. And that question said, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all of your mind.
Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a savior. as well, and those of you that are listening in or viewing this by video, we just say good morning to you and God's blessing on you as we gather to worship the Lord this morning. I'd like to welcome all the fans of Kylie Mock who are here today. She's going to be singing a little bit later on this morning. And I'd like to also just express, I think there's 60 year anniversary for Elmer and Norma Millennials. They're not here today, but I know they're probably listening in.
They're watching.
Are they watching? Congratulations, 60 years. And anyone else who's been married in the month of June is almost over.
Happy anniversary.
But happy anniversary to those of you that are going to be celebrating or have birthdays this month. I know it's those of you that are watching or on your listening devices, I know you don't have a bulletin in front of you, so I'm just going to just go over a few things here just to keep you in the loop. There are some prayer requests. Roger Gilo, Terry Dirk's dad, going through some chemo. There's Idella Hisby.
Hesby.
Sorry, Idella. She's got some health concerns that are going on with her. Pray for our country. Walt Meyer is at home. He is healing from surgery. Pray for the Acura nursing staff and residences. Those in the residences there. I did talk to Vern, there we go. Thank you. Vern Hansen this past week through the crack of the window outside. He says they take pretty good care of the residents there. They don't want them to come in any contact with anybody. And he's doing okay. It was good to hear his voice. Good to see him. And then there's some bad news that came across the prayer chain. Damien Lechband, 14. He died on June 16th. And he was one of the Joy kids that had been attending our church probably a few years ago.
7 years ago.
Kind of a sad deal there. And just want to keep you mindful that, during this time, we're not sure how to meet and when to meet and those kinds of things, but I'm interested in having a Bible study with those of you that are able to get out, would like to get out, come to the church to meet for a Bible study. To do this starting in July. If you're interested in doing that, let me know today or call the church office. I'll get in touch with you and we'll kind of go from there. If you want to Zoom, I'll just have to talk to Dina on how to go about Zooming, but we can sure do that as well too during the week for those of you that just are compromised with their immune system or would say, I'm just feeling so out of touch and isolated, I wouldn't mind being on Zoom and having a Bible study with some others. That's something we would sure explore and try to get done as well for you. If you're one of the ladies here, you notice that you started the Hebrews Bible study and that had kind of quit, but there's two lessons left. If you are still wanting to finish those two sessions, call Pat Garrels. She would like to hear from you. And so that is all the announcements that I have today. Oh, remember Marion Kyle? She's going to have some procedure done for some pain in her back, I believe, on Monday, tomorrow. So keep Marion in your thoughts and in your prayers as well. That is all the announcements, but I really would like to just pray for everyone that's here today and those of you that are watching on the video or listening device here today. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be gathered together in this way today. Lord, we live at a strange time. None of us really like it. And yet we know, Lord, there's windows that are open and doors that are open that we probably have never had to look for or even go through these days. But we do pray for our country. We do pray, Lord, that there would be some common sense that would come and reign over this country. But most of all, that people would see Jesus Christ as their Savior. To see Jesus for who he is. He is our King. He is our Savior. He is the only one who can bring order and to bring a peace that passes all understanding. And so, Lord, we pray for the hate that we see of all different kinds, that Jesus is the answer for those who deal with uncertainty, they deal with bitterness, anger, and rage. Even those, Lord, that feel so isolated during these times, I think especially of the older people in nursing homes and assisted living places. They are loved, they are cared for, but it's sure not like it used to be. We keep hearing that it's a new normal. Lord, we pray that that is not the case. We pray that there will be a normalcy that will come back, where we once again can go see our neighbor, spend time in his or her presence, and visit over coffee and cookie, pray together, to just say, you know, I've been thinking of you, and I just wanted to stop by and say hi. Lord, I just pray that those days will come back, and that we can continue to touch people's lives for Christ each and every day that you give to us. And so I just pray your blessing on our time together today. Thank you for all that are here, all that are watching, all that are listening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
My heart sings a brand new song. The debt is paid. These chains are gone. Emmanuel, God with us. Who are we that we would be mindful of us? What do you see in you that's worth looking our way? Where's that wind that was shaking?
great songs this morning. Bob, now I know what you do in your office all week.
Drink coffee. And talk to you.
It is just wonderful, wonderful songs. The words to those songs this morning are awesome, and there's more to come. The responsive reading today comes from Colossians, the book of Colossians, New Testament, chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, and it talks about the supremacy of Christ. The supremacy of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God,
the firstborn over all creation.
For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities.
All things were created by him and for him.
He is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
And he is the head of the body, the church.
He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead.
So that in everything he might have the supremacy.
For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him.
And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross.
Today. But you've been an inspiration to many people here at Harbor of Joy over the years. We know you kind of go down and live with your dad in Tennessee during the school months.
Yeah.
And you come back every summer. for a while. And when you come back, you always say you want to sing a song. And I'm just so glad and I'm proud of you. And there is no offering today. I mean, she's playing this as the offering. We don't pass any plates because we just don't want to be the touching thing at this point in time. But there are offering plates in the back or as you come in. If you'd like to give to Harbor of Joy, you can sure do that. But I just want you to just enjoy the words and the song that Kylie is going to share with us today. And she did ask me just this morning if she could be baptized before she goes back to Tennessee. So we're talking about that. Now you can take care of that before you go back next month. So blessings on you, Kylie. Say that. Doesn't mean it's always true. But to know that Jesus is truly your Savior and you're following Him, walking with Him day by day, and you're talking with Him you know, that's a horse of another color than just by someone saying, well, I'm a child of God, and don't talk to me anymore about it. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that here this morning. Invite you to stand as we look at our text today. It comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, the very first book in the New Testament. And we're looking at verses 34 through 39. And I got to say that this is not the easiest text to really preach from today. So I'll do my best to kind of skirt some of the things that are in here and yet tell you the truth, what is also found in here as well. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 through 39. Jesus is speaking and he's saying this to his disciples: do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Just doesn't sound like Jesus, does it? For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Easy for you to say them to us, harder for us, more difficult for us to kind of understand them. But we come and ask you today, through your Holy Spirit, to enlighten us, to show us, help me to preach your word, Lord, in a way that can be understood and is clear, it's concise, and it's to the point. And so, Lord, we hear your word today. May it find good soil for it to be planted in our hearts and our lives today, we pray, that it may produce fruit that will last forever for you. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I hope when you heard this or you read it, you're a little bit confounded. You scratch your head and you go like, oof, that me. This is not an easy text. You know, at Christmas time, all of us receive cards or we send cards that have on there peace on earth, right? It's kind of the big thing that surrounds Christmas is peace coming to us. God sending us his one and only Son in onto this earth as a babe, and we celebrate the joy, the love, and the peace. And there's four things. I'm missing one. Love, joy, peace.
Hope.
I think it's hope, isn't there? It's four things that we celebrate at Easter time that Jesus brings to us. And we find that in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, that it says that there's peace on earth to those whom his favor rests. Unto whom his favor rests. So it's peace to those who will receive his message about Jesus Christ. What I want to do today is look a little bit at, you know, family problems. And as we read this text, we realize there's some family problems going on here, because it goes on, whoever believes in Jesus, receives him as their Savior, that not every family is going to be receptive of that. I can say that from experience in my own life. When I became a Christian at the age of 16, I went and told my parents I thought they would be very happy and encouraging. And what I received from them was, don't say anything more, son. We've heard enough and we don't want to hear any more. And And I'm going like, I didn't think this was part of it. I thought they'd be happy. It's the best thing that ever happened to me is I have Jesus as my Savior, and they didn't want to hear anything about it. Now, you could be here today, and you go like, oh, sounds a little familiar to me. Or you go like, yowzers, can't believe that could even take place today. But it does. It is the message of Jesus as he sends out his disciples. And prior to this, in the context of where Jesus is speaking here, he's talking to his disciples and sending them out. And they're not to take anything with them. They're just to go out. And he's given them authority to do a lot of things. Heal diseases and sicknesses and just some incredible things. And yet he warns them and tells them that I'm sending you out among wolves. You are sheep being sent out among wolves. Now, I've been a pastor for close to 40 years. Pastored two churches before this one. And you think that in a church there would never, ever be any problems. I'm not saying there's problems here. But I'm just saying that in every church you'll find crocodiles. It just takes time. But you find there's crocodiles in every church. You find them when you get bit. You know, crocodiles are pretty sneaky. They'll put their eyes above the water, and they don't do a whole much, and then they just kind of go underneath the water, and they disappear. But there'll be a time when they'll come, and they'll bite. It can happen whenever we tell someone about our faith. Whenever we share the good news of Jesus Christ with anyone, remember that not everyone is going to want to hear it. And yet Jesus is telling us that this is the message that we are to bring to them. That he is the Savior of the world. He goes on even prior to this and he says that all men will hate you because of me. Have you tasted a little bit of that in your life? Everything is fine with somebody else until you start talking about Jesus Christ. And then they don't want to hear anymore. They don't want to be your friend. They just cut you off hotter than a hot potato. They just drop you. I couldn't understand why all of a sudden the friends I had when I became a Christian, they didn't want to be around me anymore. And it was because they just didn't want to do the things that I used to do. Jesus gave me new desires, new things that brought hope and joy to me that I said to tell the others, I was like, I don't do that anymore. And next thing you know, you're ostracized. And when I think of that, you know, it can happen in homes. Jesus is talking about a mission here that his disciples are to be out, be involved in. We are his disciples today, if you're a believer in Christ. And in this mission, realize that, yes, we have the peace of God with us, because Jesus is our peace, and he does give peace, but not everyone is wanting to hear that. The world will reject Jesus very violently as he will be crucified. And no one will want him, shouldn't say no one, but a lot of people will just turn their backs on him. Those that even probably said, you know, hail on Palm Sunday, the Son of David, the King of the Jews. And they're the ones that came up and started saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. The world is not very kind to Jesus. We even see that today. There is a lot of craziness going on in our country today, where even when it comes to Jesus, we're hearing that they want to take the statues of Jesus and pull them down. It still exists today. And so the message of Jesus and who he is, it continues to divide men and women, even boys and girls, and teenagers with moms and dads, and somebody in the family. And yet the Lord has promised to be there with us and will take us through that and help us, which he is always true to his promise. So disciples, they have peace with God as they go out, and they're sent among the wolves. And remember, not everyone is going to want to hear this message. And it even says in our text here today that a man's enemies will be the members of his own household, crying out loud. Can that be possible? And the answer to that is yes. It's not only possible, it does happen. You may be here today and you go, I attest to that. That's the way it has been in our homes, in our lives. The love for Jesus Christ must be supreme. It is okay to love your wife, to love your husband, to love your family and friends, and to even love your neighbors and enemies, but Jesus' love has to be supreme over all those things. I love my mom and dad very much. In light of, I know they didn't care for me living for the Lord. My dad told me once, in the milk room, connected to the barn, he said, the reason why I don't like about you is because you're not the son you used to be. And I just said, Dad, well, if I'd have stayed the son I used to be, I'd be just like you. Which wasn't good. And I know he did come to understand that later on before he died. And it was great to hear him say from his own lips that he's trusting in Jesus as his Savior. Last time I talked to him before he died. And he prayed. He could say the 23rd Psalm by memory. And he prayed the Lord's Prayer, which is very unusual for him. But I heard it from him. So it means a lot to me today. The love for Jesus must be supreme. I don't know if you remember last week, we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Remember the Shema? How many remember the Shema? Okay, know a little bit about it. Hear, O Israel, hear that the Lord is one. And he goes on and he says, this is Moses, where he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's the Shema. Every Jewish family would know that command and those words. They'd even have those words written down and put inside a little capsule and wear it around their neck. Some would put them in their frontlets or a phylactery on the foreheads and on their forearms. They would wrap them on with leather, and that would be the words that they would have in those little things that they put on themselves. They still do that today. But you can wear the cross. You can go to church and still not know Christ as your Savior. You can have things hanging in your wall, in your living room and in your homes. Nice sayings, even Bible verses. But they don't really mean anything. They're there for decoration. How can I say that? Because a lot of times you never want to talk about those things. Oh, they're just up there. It was given to me by my great-grandma, or whatever it was. But it doesn't mean anything more to me other than some sentimental value. It's nothing really personal that's in my heart. Does that sound like you this morning? You can wear some nice earrings, crosses on them. Guys, what do you wear? Oh, t-shirts. Cross on the t-shirt, something about we are more than conquerors. But it doesn't really mean that when it comes to your own life, how you really live it. It's just their outward. When Jesus was asked, what are the greatest commandments? The greatest two commandments. No, he gave us 10. What are the greatest two? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself is the second one. You see, in one word, the entire 10 commandments can be described. It's the word love. If you love the Lord your God with everything you have, then you have no problem in wanting to follow the other 10 commandments. But God gave them to us knowing that none of us can keep them. I don't know why he did that. But we see where we sin. We fail over and over again. And so therefore we need to learn how to forgive and to be gracious to one another as time goes on. Jesus' appeal is to discipleship. If you want to be my disciple, I must be supreme. To find true peace is that you need to learn how to die to self. To learn what discipline is, that God will discipline us. Our earthly fathers disciplined us. Not pleasant at the time, but there was a reason for it. God will discipline his children too. And he gives us direction to grow spiritually. When we start learning dying to self, that means what God wants is more important than what I want. I would rather do this, but I know that God wants me to do something else. Am I going to die to myself? Well, then I'll say, okay, I'll follow what God wants me to do, not what I want to do. When you hear somebody wanting to be a missionary or to go somewhere to talk the message of Christ, of saving souls to some place in this earth or some different place in the state or county or even in your own community, some of you are like, oh, no, no, you don't have to do that. Or don't do that because it's just gonna cause problems. Don't go and serve the Lord overseas. It's just too much of a hassle. But if God is calling you to go and do these things, you cannot help but to say, I need to follow the Lord and not what I'm feeling or what others are saying to me that would hinder me from doing that. That's finding true peace, learning to die to self. There's going to be discipline along the way, and it's all for the reason for giving me direction to grow spiritually. We lose peace when we disregard Jesus Christ. We don't want anything to do with him. The less of Jesus, the better. You'll never have peace if that's where you're at. You'll never know his peace. If you disobey Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what he says, I'm going to live my life any way I want to live it. He tells me to love others. I like giving it to them and making it hurt. It'll be a disaster spiritually. If we just disregard Jesus, he's not supreme. So I just leave you today just thinking that we cannot escape conflict. No matter who we are, if you're a mom, you're a dad, if you're a son, a daughter, if you're an in-law or an outlaw, you know we can't escape conflict. It's going to come. It's going to be there. But if Jesus is supreme, we know that he's going to get us through that. He's going to help us through it. The world is very hostile towards believers today, and it always has been. Jesus makes these two statements, one in John 14, 27. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." There's a different kind of peace that Jesus gives. It comes from God. Billy Graham had a little pamphlet that he, at his crusades, that he would let people say, "Do you want peace with God? Here's something that will help you to do that." We also find in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus is speaking. He says, "In me, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble." Is there trouble in this world? I feel it back in the 60s, the way things are going today. Yeah. Only it's worse. I never thought it could be worse than the 60s. But Jesus says, "In me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Good words. Good words to hold on to. Good words to say, "Lord, I'm holding on to you. And I'm grateful you're holding on to me, because without you, I'm not going to be able to face or be able to handle these things that are going on." But this world needs Jesus. No doubt. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you come to give peace. And Lord, there may be some here today that find in their own homes, in their own relatives, that there's some that are ostracized. People don't want to get together with them because they would say they're religious, or they think they're better than us, or they're too good for us, which isn't true. It's just way to say things to justify your own actions. Lord, you are real, and you are truly the peace maker and peace giver. And even in light of turmoil around us and with a lot of uncertainty in this world today, it is you who is the answer and allows us to be able to make it through every day. Thank you, Lord, for your church. Thank you, Lord, for this church, for the believers that truly want to follow you and to serve you. Thank you for the peace we find when we gather together or when we listen and watch my video, of knowing that you are with us no matter where we are at. We just praise you and thank you for being a God who is true to your word and is faithful to us, even when we're not faithful. And it is you, Lord, that says, "You know, maybe I haven't been that loving toward others, to my neighbor. Maybe I have kind of thrown in the towel when it comes to church and to living for Christ." It's never too late. Today can be a new beginning, a new start. Just like when a calf is born, it gets up very wobbly and falls down, and yet it gets up, and after a while, the thing's running around and jumping around and bucking, and you'd never know he was that weak. But Lord, we are weak many times. We fall and we fail. But you're there to forgive, You're there to clean us up and to pick us up and to help us to become stronger as we depend on you. So may Jesus be supreme. May we love him more than anyone, anything else. Starting today, help us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together this morning. And from the Apostles' Creed, we will pray the Lord's Prayer together. I'll give the benediction, and then Bob will come up and play another song as we leave, before we leave. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died in the Spirit. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. As I give you the benediction, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Just want you to know that following the song that Bob is going to share with us this morning and the dismissal, you know, I'm just going to go outside. Just encourage those of you that are here, be mindful of those that want to get out, hopefully not too quickly. But if you want to fellowship and visit, by all means, please do that. But just make sure there's some space for you in doing that, and we sure appreciate that. But if you want to say anything or just greet, I'm going to be out the front here. One of these days, I'm going to take a different route. But some of you go out different, you know, you're kind of like mice. You kind of go out different doors. So I'm not going to tell you which door I'm going to be at. But today, I will be out the front door. God's blessings on you.